Hey everybody, Perilous Garris here for the third episode of the RPI Athletics podcast, and it's D3 week. We're celebrating with a couple of podcasts this week. First off with Liz Brady, women's lacrosse senior. Talked about her season getting cut short in the spring, as well as her time spent in the RPI Athletics Communications Department. In our second half, we have men's tennis head coach John Satkowski and senior Sebastian Castillo-Sanchez on the improvements made in the program, and Sebastian run up the rankings in the national level. Hope you enjoy the show. For more than 35 years, CDPHP has been keeping you in the game by providing top-notch healthcare coverage, superior customer service, and the tools you need to live your healthiest life. They're also a proud sponsor of your RPI engineers. CDPHP, a plan for life. Joining me on the phone from her home in Bradford, Massachusetts, is RPI Class of 20, Liz Brady, women's lacrosse player and biomedical engineering major. Liz, thanks so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Liz is a senior on our women's lacrosse team that had a 3-0 start to their season. But I want to go back to the beginning, Liz, for you coming to RPI as a freshman. And what were your kind of expectations lacrosse-wise and schooling-wise?
So when I came in, you know, I was applying as a senior in high school, kind of looking around. I played club lacrosse, so playing college lacrosse was fully on my radar, but I knew I wanted to do school and I was really interested in engineering. So I kind of landed on RPI and, you know, got in contact with Coach Salino, and it kind of like really worked out where I had the opportunity to do both. And I mean, it's been great since I've gotten here.
Absolutely. And, you know, the team was struggling a bit when you came to RPI. What was the success of the team? Did it have any bearing on, you know, coming here, or was it just was there a bit of this has been a successful team in the past, or did you think about that at all?
I heard that RPI was successful, like had won the Liberty League a couple times before I got here. I didn't really fully understand like what the Liberty League was at the time, and obviously a couple schools have joined since then. But I honestly didn't really know what I was getting into as far as lacrosse, because college lacrosse is a whole different beast compared to high school. But it honestly was a really good fit for me, so I'm really happy that I made that decision.
And your freshman year, you know, the team was 6-9. It was your first taste of college lacrosse there. What was that like for you playing for the first time in college?
I definitely had a little bit of a learning curve. The high school I went to wasn't necessarily the strongest athletically, and so I definitely got like a nice awakening once I got here and, you know, started getting beat up a little bit on the field. But you know, you have to have that curve. That's the only way you can, you know, learn and grow from that.
And in your second season, you had a setback, I guess, your second ACL tear that ended your season, really. You had no sophomore year. Is that how that went?
Yeah, second day of practice, actually, I tore my ACL. So it was in January. So I was on the sideline the entire time.
But the team enjoyed the first of a couple of solid years in which you guys went to the playoffs. Sophomore, and then your junior year when you exploded for a school record 36 assists on that season. Is that kind of how you've always kind of played lacrosse, or did your game change to that?
I kind of came in knowing I played attack and kind of like found a home my freshman year behind the net, so as a crease attacker. Freshman and like the first half of sophomore year, I'd say, I was, you know, doing a little bit of driving to net and feeding. But after I tore my ACL, coming back was a little bit harder the second time around, and so my mobility was a little bit kind of tied up and delayed coming back, so I kind of just stuck to feeding for a little bit, and it ended up working out really well, and that's what the team needed, so it kind of like fit together and, you know, clearly worked out a little bit. So
not to single anyone out, but who scored, do you think, the most goals, without looking, I guess, who scored the most goals off your passes? Who was the easiest person to find? Was it taller players like Abby, or was it faster players like Maddie? Who you know, benefited from you the most, I guess?
I do have to say that I do think I've hit almost every single person on our team inside, but Abby and I had, like, this little, like, kind of crease play that we ran a lot last year that we found to be successful. So I definitely hit her a number of times, but Nora was in there. Lexi's in there. Michelle Goody. Trying to think. This year we had like some of our freshmen in there that I was able to hit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, anyone who's inside and they're able to catch, I'll pass it to them.
You guys were on your way this year, 3-0 to start. You beat Oneonta in a close game on the road, and you go down to South Carolina and win a couple of games there. What were you seeing from this group? And I know it's disappointing that the season is over, obviously, but what were you seeing from this group, whether it be, you know, the new kids, the freshmen, or the sophomores and juniors that are making a step up?
But, yeah, no, so our freshmen were stepping up big, and it was, like, this really cool balance of everyone having, like, a role, and there being a seamless transition from people being, like, on the field to off the field. Like, we would sub, and you would have no idea. It was just one team, one unit, and it was, like, the first time we've had that mentality and that flow in a long time, so it was fun to play with.
Season was cut short. Liz, where were you guys when you found out about that? And obviously, what was it like? I know I'm sure a lot of emotions ran through you guys at that moment.
Yeah, so we had just gotten back from Hilton Head on Wednesday night. At that point, we had learned that we were going to be online for the rest of the semester, but athletics hadn't been closed down yet, so we were planning on heading up to SLU on Saturday. So we, you know, came home, went to bed, woke up, headed up to ECAV Thursday morning. We were in the middle of film, and Karen came down and talked to Coach, and then she kind of came in and said they had just gotten word that we're going to have to cancel the rest of the season. So definitely a lot of tears. You know, no one wants to see, like, their seasons end, like, in this kind of way. But, you know, we kind of rallied about it. We were like, all right, we're going to be sad, but, like, we're going to do it together. And we were already having dinner catered that night because we were the only ones on campus. The dining halls weren't open. And so we were like, we'll make it like a little banquet in ECAV. And we got streamers and decorated, had a cake, and just kind of went all out.
At least you were able to do that. I know some other teams were, you know, not in the state or were traveling at the time or whatever the case may be. So you guys were able to be together for at least a day or two there. And so Liz Brady, senior women's lacrosse player, you had a chance, obviously, to not only play lacrosse, but you were a member of the communications department at RPI. You started off, I guess, not taking a ton of photos, but it grew to be something you really enjoyed. You know, what was that experience like, and what was some of your more fun, I guess, events that you remember taking pictures at?
Yeah, no, so I definitely loved being able to take pictures at games. I think it's fun to be, like, down on the field and in the action. I think one of the best ones is probably the playoffs this year for soccer. There were a couple really close games, a couple really good comebacks. So, like, you know, catching the excitement on people's faces when they were scoring those last-minute goals was a lot of fun. Hockey is always a fun one to grab, too, being on the bench, right in on the action. So, I don't know.
And what were some of the other, I guess, you know, there's a group of maybe 8 to 10 kids that were, you know, students that were working in the department. You know, what kind of relationship did you grow with them?
Honestly, a lot of them have become some of my best friends. I, like, knew of some of them before, you know, like, joining group, but, like, since then, sitting up in, like, the press boxes with them during games, and then, like, seeing them around campus, they just kind of become, you're open with them and you're just having a good time, like, watching the game, talking about, like, your different experiences, and it's been a fun, we've kind of become a family, I would say. We have our Lobster Talk group message, which I think is probably one of the funniest things to come out of it, but I don't know, I think it's been a good time.
And don't forget Snowman. Kevin would be upset if you didn't mention Snowman.
Oh, yeah, no, Snowman. The yearly Snowman trip is probably definitely the favorite event of the year. Sad we had to cancel it this year.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's a lot of things were canceled this year, and I'm sure a lot of people are disappointed by all those. But, you know, D3 week, we're having you on here. We have men's tennis coming up later in this podcast. We got some folks in our Thursday podcast while talking about golf. So an exciting week here for D3, even though everyone's separated at home. What does, you know, being a D3 athlete mean to you, Liz?
I think being able to play Division III sports, for me specifically lacrosse, it's just really giving me like a perfect balance of everything that I was looking for. I've met like my best friends, but I've also been able to have a really, really strong academic experience on top of just being like pushed in every way possible. Like athletic serves as like that outlet from academics, but then you're like with your best friends the entire time. So for me, it's just been like an opportunity that I would not trade for the world. And I'm really happy that I've had. I think I've been able to grow and learn a lot just from the people around me and learn how to like time manage, which is not something I've ever had to do before. So it's been fun.
It's been just about a month almost exactly since the season ended and the world kind of changed as we know it. What has this last month been like for you? And we'll get to what school at home has been like as well.
It's been kind of crazy, actually. I'm so used to, being with my friends all the time, whether it's staying up until like 1 a.m. at the union, like trying to grind for like a test or get an assignment in, or just like on my way home from practice, like coming home and like eating dinner with my roommates who I just like went to practice with and like went to class with for, like the last, like I'm used to always just being around like my team and my friends. So coming home and, like, still having to do school is completely out of the norm. But so it's been a bit of an adjustment, but, we're getting through.
And how is school going? I know you had class this morning. You made a delicious breakfast you told me about earlier.
Yeah, school's going good. It's kind of nice because I can, like, listen to class and make breakfast at the same time, which is exactly what I did today. But it's very different. Like, I feel like I'm just staring at my computer all day, like listening to people talk at me. So I kind of turn them into like podcasts almost and just like play them over my headphones or like a speaker and then like go around and do things around the house. So today I made breakfast and made banana pancakes. They were pretty good.
Awesome. Are you getting out and walking or running, or do you have anything in your house that you're able to, at least get a sweat on every once in a while?
Yeah, so I have absolutely no workout equipment in my house, which has made this really interesting, but I've been trying to go out on runs every single day just to, keep moving and give me something to do, and then I've been supplementing those on, like, crazy weather days with, like, HIIT workouts, trying to stretch a lot so I don't get, too tight or anything, but it's fun because my team is also kind of doing different exercises, and we're sending them to each other, and posting things in our group chat about it, so keeping each other motivated.
And how are you, you mentioned that, but how are you, I guess, staying in touch with your teammates outside of school?
We have our team, like, group me, which I think is at least sent something in every single day, not just me, but, like, everyone's communicating in it every day. We have our, like, Instagram. We have these Instagram accounts that we've been using recently to post, like, our most recent workouts or what we've been doing or how school's going, which has been fun because everyone's kind of having fun with that. And then we have a Snapchat group message. So we have, like, every form of group message that exists, I think. So there's always something happening.
And then how are you, I guess, staying entertained? I know some people are binge-watching TV shows or, working on some hobby. What have you been up to when you're not in class or making breakfast or doing some of these workouts that your teammates have provided or things like that?
So I've definitely been watching TV, but I've been trying not to be completely consumed with that. So I made my family buy a couple puzzles. So we're on puzzle number two right now, which has been fun. I had to drive up to Troy one day to get some stuff because I was in denial that we actually had to move home. So I only brought home a couple things the first time around. So we've been busy trying to, just get out, hang out with my sister a little bit, play some sports if I can. Sometimes I make my friends go on runs with me 6 feet apart just so I have like a change of scenery and a change of like people around. So it's been a good time.
Are there any RPI folks that live nearby you that you're able to, I guess, hang out with social distancing wise?
No one from RPI really. It's kind of just my friends from high school and the ones I've kind of grown up with. So that's who I've mostly been seeing, if I can. at a distance.
And what were your initial thoughts when you heard that there would be no on-site commencement?
It was definitely kind of sad. I can't say I didn't see it coming, just with the state of how everything's been happening. Me and my friends, the second we can get back on campus, plan on throwing a graduation in our front yard for ourselves, because we just kind of have like one more like hoorah together, and we already bought our caps and gowns, so we're like, might as well just throw our own. We're trying to get The Rock to come give a speech. We don't know if that's going to work out, but it's on the list.
Yeah, good luck with that. So, you know, how do you guys see it? Because there's been, you know, a lot of speculation. You know, RPI hopes to be back open in the fall, but you never know. You know, from your guys' end, from a student's end, from a college student's end of things, you know, you obviously see the risk and why people need to, you know, stay at home and things like that. But what is your kind of your take on the whole situation?
It's one of those things I know, especially as seniors, the senior class is kind of really struggling with, because you're like, this is like supposed to be like the last time I see a lot of these people. Like, I know specifically like my class, like my grade across, we have people kind of going all over the country. So, you know, like senior week and like graduation were supposed to be some of like the last like times we had together, and like obviously the rest of the semester too. So like when that got cut short, it was kind of just like an abrupt end. But at the same time, like, it's really hard to, like, every single senior and every single college student and high school senior, like, everyone's going through, like, the same kind of loss. And so, like, we're not in it alone. And, like, everyone you talk to is like, this sucks. But obviously, it kind of makes sense. Like, you can't, like, you can be sad about it, but you understand, like, what's happening in the world and how this is, like, much more important than, like, things getting canceled. Because, like, life's going to go on that way. But, you know, if we continue to do that, then like there'd be so much more damage going on in the world.
And Liz, lastly, I have to ask you about the Capital District Sportswoman of the Year Award. Just three people in the whole Capital District are being honored here. Obviously, the banquet was postponed, but a big honor for you, not only for your work on the field in the classroom, but also on the sidelines working with us up here in communications.
Yeah, it's definitely a huge honor to receive this award. The other two people up for it are also super deserving, so it's really cool to be linked with them. Also, it's the first time this award's been given out, so it's really different to be a part of like the inaugural year of it. But I wouldn't be where I am without my teammates. And can you hear my dog barking?
That's okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
But I wouldn't be where I am without my teammates. You know, what I'm able to do on the field, I have to attribute to them. You know, they kind of help. They catch the ball when I pass to them. They give me the ball. And, you know, it's kind of a team effort there. And then off the field, you know, most of the stuff I do with them too. So while it is as much an award that was given to me, I have to, you know, attribute a lot of the credit to them and being able to work with them.
All right, joining me on the phone are RPI head men's tennis coach John Sadkowski in his 10th year, and senior Sebastian Castillo Sanchez out of Wesley Chapel, Florida. Thanks, guys, so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
RPI men's tennis, you know, John, I was just talking, it's been 10 years, which is kind of hard to believe. But John, you know, went to St. Lawrence, came in as a young coach, still doesn't look any older today, but You've grown this program to be a bit of a power in the Northeast, and kind of culminated in a pretty good year, although a partial year for you guys this year. Can you just go over, you know, the last, not the last 10 years, but how you've come to where you are today with Sebastian and some of his classmates?
It was kind of a rehaul of all the things that RPI already did well, but bringing them to the forefront of our program and just being a little bit more aggressive with some of the recruits that we're going after. And Sebastian is definitely one of those guys that came in and really changed the face of the program. He not only brought in a lot of success, an immediate success to us, but he's also attracted a lot of other people to come on board with him. And those are some of the things where you have a highlight player that wants to come in and really make a difference for the program. It really does have that trickle effect where we have the opportunity to bring in a lot of other guys to improve upon our depth and change, I guess, course of history when it comes to RPI tennis.
Sebastian, on your end, Sebastian is an IT and web science major. You're from down in Florida. What attracted you to RPI? You knew it was going to be a lot colder up here, but tennis-wise and academically.
Definitely. So definitely when I was in high school, I was interested in IT and computer science. So that's what interested me a lot about RPI and how they already had a good level of education when it came to these topics. So definitely that's what interests me. And when it came to tennis, I played high school tennis and I played competitive tennis everywhere. So definitely I was trying to ensure that I was able to have a good education and be able to play at a school and be able to play in the lineup. So definitely that was something that interested me, and that's why I chose RPI in the end.
And tennis-wise, Sebastian, you've been a part of the growth of this program over your 4 years. When you came in as a freshman, what was the culture like? And you guys were pretty good, I think, then. But what was the team like then?
I think that when I came in as a freshman, coach was trying to bring us into the team, ensuring that we fit in well and we're able to start on the right track and be able to integrate everyone and be on the have the same goals and the same lifestyle when it came to the team and everything. So definitely, I started off really well. I believe my fall season freshman year went really well, and it was thanks to the team and coach as well.
And you guys are pretty diverse as far as where you guys are coming from too. Massachusetts, a couple of kids from Florida, you guys from Japan. Eddie is from Canada. I mean, New Mexico, you guys are from all over the map. How do you guys mesh together off the court?
I think that we have a strong bond off the court, whether it's, starting together or, we have a group chat with each other. We're always hanging out with each other. I think that doing all those things helps us become better teammates and helps us compete better when we're, in tough situations during matches. So definitely it helps us in any way possible.
And John, recruiting-wise, we'll get to the future of recruiting later on in the show, but the kids that you brought in, they're from all over the place. How do you recruit these kids? Is it mostly online? Do you visit? Is it kind of tough when they're from all the four corners of the country?
Yeah, I would say it's kind of all the above. As a recruiter, you're certainly taught not to eliminate any possibilities of anybody. So I actually didn't see Sebastian in Florida. He actually came to campus, and we had the opportunity to talk about his success here at RPI then. But yeah, I mean, I think everybody's got a different path in how they get to RPI. It certainly starts, just because we are so geographically diverse, it certainly starts through phone conversations, FaceTime, whatever, and it kind of expands pretty drastically and pretty quickly from there, because I think once I get a hold of kids and they have the opportunity to see what the programs can do at RPI, they get really, really interested. So it really does snowball pretty quickly. But, yeah, I am not going to be discretionary about any of the tactics that it takes to get kids to RPI.
Absolutely not. And so, Sebastian, what about your visit? You were able to come up here to Troy. Led you to feel like this was the place you wanted to be and continue your career.
Yeah, so when I came up to visit, I came with my dad, and I didn't know much about the school before then, but being able to see the entire campus and as well as see the team practice and be able to hit with some of the people on the team then, it was great to see how the team atmosphere was there and how it came together with the entire school and how the academics worked and definitely changed my mindset and definitely got me more excited to eventually come to RPI.
And you seem like you, as your career went on, you continued to improve. You obviously came in pretty good as a solid player as a freshman, but by the time you were a senior, you know, an All-American, both singles and doubles, playing with Andrew Emery. And I know a lot of people think of tennis as an individual sport, but what kind of teamwork has evolved, especially not only to win a match, like a dual match against another school, but also, you know, playing-wise in a doubles pairing?
Definitely. So tennis, for me, has always mostly been an individual sport, you know, playing, you know, competitive tournaments when I was in the juniors, definitely mostly singles, and doubles was mostly, you know, for fun, just, you know, play with other people. But once I got into college, definitely doubles became a more important aspect because, you know, some of the points that you win during a match and a dual match is from doubles. So definitely I changed my aspect to see how I had to become more competitive when it came to doubles. And, you know, Coach has done really well integrating doubles into our practices and to our mindset when we're going into match. So definitely for me, I can say that doubles is really a strong suit for me now. And Coach has really helped me a lot with that.
John, when coaching in college, do you find a lot of kids come in as, I guess, individual players, or they haven't played a lot of doubles like Sebastian had in his experience?
Again, I would say it's just kind of a mixed bag. Definitely some of the kids that are groomed from the academies have a little bit more of an individual perspective, but I really appreciate some of the guys that still play high school tennis and are part of a team. Sebastian was definitely one of those guys that, correct me if I'm wrong, Sebastian, but did your team win a Florida State title? Is that correct?
Yes, we did.
See? Yeah, so taking a kid that has high school experience and has the opportunity to lead a team or be a part of something as impressive as that is really cool to see how they integrate. And, there are some challenges when it comes to playing for something besides yourself and being able to expand that to just your other teammates. And that's where I see Sebastian has done a really good job. And I could preface it just by – when Sebastian won the individual singles title this fall, he talked about he didn't talk about himself and how he achieved something. He talked about it how we did this. We did it at you and I, Coach, and then also all the other people that were involved in his practices and preparing him appropriately. So, I think that we've done a good job in trying to expand just beyond the 1v1 that you typically see on the tennis court.
And Sebastian, the tournament coach is talking about, you and Andrew went down and were all Americans in doubles in Rome, Georgia. What was that experience like? And I guess for both of you, Sebastian first, but then Coach, getting a chance to coach in a big-time event like that.
Sure. So I was able to, my freshman year, go to Arizona for the same tournament for doubles, and that was a great experience. But doing it again in my senior year, going with Andrew and be able to compete with at such a high level with top schools and be able to watch other D2 and NAIA schools was definitely a great experience, and being able to play and actually win a few matches in singles and doubles was a great experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Coach?
Yeah, it was really, I guess, more eye-opening for me the second time around with Andrew and Sebastian going down there. We typically play and we dramatize the fact that, dramatize, I guess is the word, how good some of the guys are that play D3. And we always look at them with this unbeatable look sometimes. And, to see Sebastian and Andrew go down there and Sebastian and singles go down there and be able to hold their own, and really, Sebastian and Andrew had match points against the national champions this year. So it's pretty wild to see the different perspective that we've now gotten just by going there and winning a few matches and just piecing together a few scrappy points here and there to make some wins come in our direction. And now we're talking about Sebastian and Andrew on a national scale. And now I can think about, is it, is it really too crazy that these two guys potentially win a national championship? No way. If we do all the right things and we can see how close we actually were to that, it's really cool to see how that experience has exposed that part of that part of the D3 world.
And how much does, you know, you guys, so you've made it to, you know, a few league championships now, and things like that. How much has the Liberty League and the competition you see there and in the Northeast helped you guys along to Sebastian, you know, in your play and John and just in the team's success over the last few years?
Yeah, definitely. So being able to, compete against high-level teams and now that, the past few years, ever since freshman year, I've been able to play in dual matches against higher nationally ranked teams and be able to see that we can compete against these teams. And definitely it opens my eyes and opens the team's eyes to see that we can improve and, you know, reach that level where we can become a top national team and, surprise everyone. So definitely the team is building towards that, and coach has done really well to, make sure that we're striving to accomplish that.
John, in the league, you guys beat Skidmore 2 years ago and played the NCAA tournament for the first time. What was that experience like?
Yeah, obviously it's something I've been looking forward to as a coach for, since I've been working at RPI. So just to achieve that and under the circumstances in which we did achieve it was really, really special. I think that's important that we do have some strong league competitors. I know for Sebastian individually and also him in the doubles pairing with Andrew, there's definitely some teams in the Liberty League that have often given us trouble. I think that's really been a strong motivator for somebody like Sebastian who, his first couple of years, he lost to a kid from Hobart that really bothered him for a long time. And he had a breakthrough match beating that Hobart individual, and I don't think that he would ever lose to him ever again. So those things really have motivated Sebastian and have really stepped up his game and his mentality in going to those types of matches, but also the more high-level national scale matches.
Is that what you think, Sebastian? That some of these local teams you play a number of times over, you kind of get a little bit of a rivalry with?
Definitely. Throughout the 4 years, like Coach said, you're able to play a team or an individual from a team 4 or 5 times, and you're able to have competitive matches, and that helps you. For the next one, you're going to play against this person or this team. You understand that you got to practice and you got to compete harder and harder each time to, do better than the last result.
It is D3 week, and we're celebrating that across all platforms, RPI Athletics. And for you, Sebastian, what about Division III tennis was such a strong draw? Maybe RPI in particular, but did you have any thoughts of playing Division II or Division I, or was this always the route you were wanting to take?
So definitely when playing juniors, I always thought that playing a D1 or D2 tennis was going to be a great accomplishment. But once I discovered that academics is also a big part of what I want to do, is D3 tennis has allowed me to balance both tennis and academics really well and be able to play the sport that I love while learning new things and being able to study what I want to do in the future. So D3 tennis has allowed me to do all these things and do what I enjoy.
And John played at St. Lawrence. We don't hold it against him, but what was that experience like for you, being able to play Division III tennis and get a great education up at St. Lawrence University?
I haven't thought about that in quite some time, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I think that just the experiences and the feeling of community with your teammates and with the people around you and just the other experiences that you're able to have while you're there really make a big difference. And I do have friends from St. Lawrence that I still stay in touch with that play tennis. But I also know that some of the other friends that I have, my best friends in the state that were in my wedding and we go and visit with like our kids and stuff like that. They came from other things outside of of my sport. So my lifelong friendships and community and family have developed outside of that. So obviously hindsight is 2020 here, but I wouldn't trade that perspective and that experience that I had for anything.
Shifting gears a bit, you guys had your spring break altered by the COVID-19 situation, obviously. It seemed from what I could see, you guys made the most of it. Sebastian, first, what was that experience like? And I'm sure it was pretty disappointing, not only that the money spent, but not being able to go to California to play tennis on spring break.
Yeah, definitely it was a different experience, very crazy. I already had my bags packed for California before the day before the announcement came. So it was really disappointing, but we, Coach worked his hardest to try and schedule matches and be able to have the chance for us to do fun things during the spring break. So I'm really happy that Coach was able to do that and be able to, make the most of it. And whether it was waking up early for a match that was eventually going to get canceled, to going all the way to near Philadelphia to play a match, definitely Coach, put work into helping us at least play a couple of matches. So I'm very grateful for that, and it was a great experience to be with the team.
Coach, had to be one of the biggest headaches of your career, but you were able to pull something off. Your team, your players are certainly, Sebastian, illustrating pretty appreciative of that. What was that week like for you?
Yeah, I think that regardless of the amount of headaches, I think that that's something that I think that not only myself, but most of the coaches in D3, you could kind of get a sense of who was doing these things, and certainly the vibe that we got from people at RPI is we just wanted to do what was in our nature, which was just to try and provide an opportunity and an experience for our student athletes. So that's what was motivating me. I didn't want my guys to be disappointed that they weren't being able to go to California. At that point, couldn't imagine that we'd be locked in our homes for the next month and a half or even further. But at that point, I was just trying to do what I do best, which is scramble and make the best out of a bad situation. So it was definitely frustrating and exhausting, but totally worth the experience. And we even rented a house and got to work on my Nintendo Switch skills, which I'm pretty bad at it.
Sebastian's good. Are you good at Nintendo Switch, Sebastian?
I hadn't played before. We played during spring break, so I was also not the best. But I'm thinking about buying a Switch in the future.
So you had your season cut short. Luckily for you guys, you have your fall portion, or else this might have been maybe a different conversation, or at least a different feeling that a lot of the other spring sports didn't have anything to work with. How fortunate do you guys feel, Sebastian first, I guess, of being able to have that fall schedule where you really had a lot of success?
Yeah, being able to have fall and spring schedule as playing tennis is definitely great, especially for something like this. But, in the fall we had great success being able to integrate the new freshmen and be able to, we were working hard for the spring and be able to, have a chance for a Liberty League title and get to nationals again. So, but it's a learning experience for us, and definitely the team and coach will definitely come back more hungry for next year.
John, same thing, I guess. You guys were able to have half your season at least, but as Sebastian mentioned, the league tournament is probably one of the highlights of the year, and obviously that did not happen.
Yeah, it certainly is a blessing in disguise that we did have. We got 7 weeks this fall, so it was a pretty extensive fall season, but still can really take a lot away from a really shortened season. Sebastian's the first All-American in singles in RPI history, really thankful that we got that in before anything else happens. Both Sebastian and Andrew, they are all top 10 as far as individual rankings go. So Sebastian and Andrew finished the year at number 6 in the country, and Sebastian finished at number 9 in the country. So those are firsts for RPI to be that highly ranked. We've never achieved those things before. So sneaking in that level of success before a season's canceled is really, really cool, and grateful for that experience and that opportunity to do it.
Absolutely. So, Sebastian, on your end, how have you stayed in touch with your teammates being, you know, sometimes halfway across the country, sometimes being all the way across the country or in other countries? I'm not sure where some of your teammates have ended up.
Yeah, so we have a few teammates who are outside of the United States, Yudai being in Japan and Eddie being in Canada. But we've been staying in touch with our own group chats and coaches. We had a Zoom video chat the other day, and we were able to see how everyone's doing, how everyone's adjusting to online classes. But we're all keeping in touch and ensuring that everyone's staying safe and staying healthy.
You jumping in on those, John?
Yeah. Pretty simple stuff. We just check in all the time on each other, and it's a moving target as far as what we're looking to achieve here, but just giving them updates, and hopefully later this week we'll get some more updates from RPI and what some plans are moving forward. But yeah, just helping them keep their heads down and finish their semester strong academically, and being able to support them there is the goal at this moment.
And Sebastian, first, how are you keeping up with yourself as far as athletically and staying in shape? Are you going on runs? Do you have something in your house you're able to do workout-wise?
Yeah, so fortunately, the strength and conditioning team have given us home workouts, so definitely I've been doing that mostly every day, ensuring doing runs as well, just ensuring I keep my body healthy and stay fit.
That's good. I'm going to be hearing from them on Thursday, so I'm sure they'll be happy to hear that you said that.
Yeah.
And John as well, I know you have a young child, so maybe that's probably all the workout you need. But
I've actually been trying to do a lot more just because I typically play a lot of tennis with the guys on the team. So I definitely feel not working out and miss that aspect. So, Harper, my daughter, and my dog, we've crushed the miles recently. I usually run at least a 5K every other day. So we've been going for pretty long runs and just a way to pass the time as well.
I got a couple more for you guys before I let you go. Just the future of RPI tennis. I do have to ask Sebastian, I know G3 folks were granted another semester of competition. Have you made any calls on whether you want to come back and play?
So I heard that. I have not made a full decision, but definitely playing for the team and the experiences I had have been amazing, and definitely that will something that will I will think about when I eventually make a decision.
Cool. And John, recruiting-wise, I know you're allowed to do some stuff online. I'm sure it's a different aspect of it, but maybe not too different from the way recruiting has already been headed.
Yeah. So for next year, we have a really strong class coming in. We still have some guys making some decisions. So I'm really optimistic about where our class is at right now. We have four freshmen that are coming in that bring a lot of talent and promise and will fit right into our culture and how we do things at RPI. So I'm excited about the class that we already have coming in, but looking to add a few more other guys as well. And probably our best and our biggest recruit right now would be Sebastian Castillo Sanchez. He's going to be on campus next year, so we're recruiting him pretty heavily as well.
Awesome. And my last question is for Sebastian, and it's about legacy, because John, you've heard it all about what John's been able to say about what you've done for the program. Top 10 singles player in the country. What do you want your – I know you're a pretty humble guy, Sebastian, but you're going to have to tell us a little bit. What do you want your legacy to be at RPI when it's all said and done here?
Definitely, I honestly couldn't have done anything without my teammates and coach. You know, they helped me along the way, and I wouldn't have done any of these All-American or any of the victories without them. And honestly, they made my college experience great, and for my legacy, just that I really appreciate what the team has done for me.
All right. John Sakowski, head tennis coach at RPI, Sebastian Castillo Sanchez, a senior, and want to thank both of you guys for coming on the podcast today. It was a good one.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Perry. It was fun.
For more than 35 years, CDPHP has been keeping you in the game by providing top-notch healthcare coverage, superior customer service, and the tools you need to live your healthiest life. They're also a proud sponsor of your RPI engineers. CDPHP, a plan for life.